Hello and welcome to Milano's Wig Podcast. We're your hosts, Gia and Judy, and we're here to take you on your wig wearing journey and answer any questions you may have along the way.
The CEO, Judy, and she's going to share her tips and tricks for how she's able to determine the right density for her clients.
Hi, everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. And we get this question asked a lot, and I really wanted to clarify it and really go through it. Through in details in terms of what is the right density for me. And in terms of a wig, a lot of times wigs are made with a lot of hair, either because they want it to cover the cap, or that's traditionally was done on a wig. Here at Milano, one of the things that we really try is to make the wig look as natural as possible. A lot of times there's so much density on a wig that it just doesn't look natural because a normal person doesn't have that much density on their head. So what we do is we try to mimic the amount of density a normal person would have on their head. And that's one of the ways that we keep our wigs looking so natural and so amazing, where you can't detect that you're wearing a wig. The other thing is that I just had a live consultation with a client today. And one of her issues was that she has a very petite face. And every time she tries on a wig, she says they look horrible on her because her face, there's so much hair all around. And I find a lot, if you are petite or you have a small face, a lot of times the hair just overpowers your face. And it looks like when someone looks at you, you can't see the beautiful features of your face and all you see is hair. So especially if you have a petite face, density really, really will play a lot in terms of how natural and how to really make your features really look good and not have the wig just overpower your face where someone can't see you. So if you have a petite face, then you definitely want to pay attention to the density of a wig in order to see if it's really is what suits you best. In terms of density, we have three different densities. We have our princess wig, which is our extra low density wig. Now, sometimes people choose the princess wig because they see that, you know, it's a really good price and, you know, the length looks good, the color looks good. But the first question I ask someone when they choose the princess wig is, first of all, if they want something that has extra low density. If their natural hair had, if they had a lot of hair on their head before they were looking for a wig, or if they are very petite. Because if you're used to a normal density on your head and you have a normal size face, not necessarily would the princess wig be the best for you, even though it's a really good price point, but you may want something with a little bit more hair. So if you are looking at the princess wig, the two questions to ask yourself is, are you used to having really thin, fine hair and really not a lot of hair where you want to kind of mimic that look? And do you have a really petite, small face where you really don't want so much hair in your face? If you answer those two questions as yes, then the princess would be good for you. Otherwise, there's so many different options that we have in terms of density that would be a better option for you. Most of, after the princess wig,
So going into the princess wig, so it is intentionally a wig made for children, correct? However, it just kind of took off with the hair loss market.
Yeah, it's really funny that you asked that, because when we started the princess wig, and we even called it the princess because we used to see these young girls come in, and you know, my heart used to break every time I saw them, because they would come in with this wig that someone tried to retrofit on their head, and it just looked ridiculous because it had so much hair. It had what a normal adult would have, and most children have less hair than a normal adult would. So the two things that we tried to address with the princess wig is, first of all, the amount of density. We made it an extra low density wig. And in addition to that, we made the cap size much smaller. So you don't have to do much adjusting. It may need a minor tweak here and a tweak there, but for the most part, it is for a smaller size head. And when we started out, and it looked amazing, and we put it on kids, and it just made us feel so good because we were having all these kids that came in and they looked really beautiful, and you wouldn't know that they were wearing a wig in any way, shape, or form. We also made it wefted because, you know, the hand-tied wigs, they're so delicate. And if you're a kid, you just want to be a kid. So we are trying to make it as comfortable, but also as natural as possible. And all of a sudden, we started getting all these requests from adults wanting the princess wig. And it kind of opened a whole new market for adults, and not even ones with hair loss. Anyone who is petite, you know, it really worked. And now I would say we're probably, you know, working more with adults with the princess line than we are with children. And I never realized how difficult it is to find a wig that has that extra low density for someone who's looking for for a wig that does not have a lot of hair. So you're right about that. We started it with children, but it's amazing how it's kind of evolved into like not just children. It's, you know, a lot of adults are wearing it.
Can we go into the sizing? I know that the princess wig has a little bit different sizing than our standard wig caps. Can you kind of explain to the listeners, in case they're interested in getting one, some tips and tricks for how they can fit an adult head?
Sure, sure. So what I always tell someone is to measure your circumference in front to back. I know there are a lot more measurements that are involved when you're measuring your head size, but for the most part, we can kind of gauge what size someone is just by them measuring the circumference in the front to back. Now, the princess size, it starts with the size small, which is an adult size small. And then it goes to an extra small, an extra, extra small, and an extra, extra, extra small. We're actually in the process now of just converting it into the adult size, only because we get so many questions of that. We used to have a separate size chart because we made it into a kid size chart. But because we have so many adults that are asking about it, inquiring about it, and purchasing it, we decided to simplify it. A lot of customers, you know, they sent us their feedback and they found it a little bit confusing in terms of the sizing. So we're actually in the process of just putting it into an adult size, but it would be an adult extra small, an adult extra, extra small. That doesn't mean that if you're a size medium, you can't wear the princess wig. It could be that if you wanted something super, super light in just a regular size medium, it might work for you, but I would probably say to go more to a low density wig than an extra low density wigs if you are a size medium head.
Okay, great. So that's kind of like what I see a lot of people asking for the extra low density. So let's just say that someone is looking for still low density, but not necessarily extra low, and they're not petite. What would be the next size or suggestion of wig that you recommend?
So the next wig what I would recommend is a low density wig. And there's two styles that are perfect for our low density wigs. That is our ponytail wig, which is a really, really popular wig. And I think it's popular. And a lot of people ask me, they're like, oh, but I don't only want to wear it in a ponytail. And about 95% of the people that get the ponytail wig, they're wearing it more down than up. But if you're wearing it up, we do have special features that make it look good up and down, which we underventilate all the way around in terms of the density. A lot of times when the wig is so heavy, it kind of weighs down the ponytail, which doesn't look natural. So there's different, and we hand tie the earpieces around the earpieces and the nape and all those little things. It makes a big difference if you're wearing it up, but if you're wearing it down, it also looks amazing. So in terms of our low density wigs, what I would recommend is the ponytail style, which is a great, great wig, and the Divine. The Divine is our lace featured wig. It has kind of like a lace part and hairline. It's also low density. So in terms of like how natural it looks, it really mimics what you would normally have on your head, where when even a stylist is cutting it, they're like, wow, this is a dream to cut, because, you know, if you want layers, you're just cutting layers, but you're not removing a lot of the weight or having thinning shears or a tremendous amount of point cutting just to get that density to really make it look natural. So, and the Divine comes in both premium processed hair and virgin hair. So we have so many different options, even in terms of that low density look. And sometimes people will take one of each because, you know, you want this skin top, which the ponytail is a skin top with the lace front, or you just want a lace top featured wig, which is the Divine. So the construction is a little bit different in both. And in terms of it being the low density wigs, the Divine and the ponytails are the best choices to choose from.
That's awesome. So with the Divine and the ponytail, do you find that you said most people will opt for one or the other, or sometimes both? What are the main differences of the Divine and ponytail for someone that's new to the low density wig category?
That's actually a really good question, because a lot of people ask me that, because when they say they want a low density wig, the first thing I tell them is Divine and ponytail. And they're like, well, why would I pick one over the other? Mm-hmm. So it's a great question that you're asking that, because so many people ask us that. The main difference is really the cap. So the ponytail is a skin top, and a skin top has a little bit of a thicker cap. It's still very natural in the way it lays, but it's a little bit, it has a couple more layers than the Divine does. So the ponytail is a skin top. It has a lace front, which makes it look really natural and transition really well from your forehead to wig. But it's a skin top and a wefted back. The Divine is our lace featured wig, which has lace, which is a single layer by your hairline in part, which lets... It's a little bit, I guess, thinner and more natural than the ponytail in terms of how it looks on top, because the density is a little bit less. But both of them are super popular. And sometimes I tell people, like, it used to be that when someone asked me for low density wig, I'd be like, Divine, Divine, Divine. But then I started to realize that the ponytail looks amazing on so many people. And the ponytail is a little bit more durable. It's going to last you longer because the French top, or the silk top, because it has a little bit extra layer in it, it will last a little bit longer than the Divine will. So it's not always Divine, 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 like how I started off. But a lot of times I kind of speak to people about their lifestyle and how they wear it and how often they wear it and the wear and tear they put on it, because the ponytail is also a really natural, good option. I know you have a ponytail.
Yeah, right? I have a few.
And yeah. What's your thought? Because
I think it's great. I agree. Like, especially for me being new to wigs, I still want a divine. It's still on my list, but I just didn't trust myself to handle like such a delicate wig for my first wig. But I mean, I definitely see that they look really natural. I just have a quick question about the low density as well. So now that you're saying, you know, durability is a factor, mm-hmm. especially for someone getting into this, what are some ways that you can style these with height? I know a lot of people tend to associate low density wigs with being flat. Is there any tips and tricks you can give the audience as well?
That's also a really good question, because low density does not necessarily mean you have to wear it flat. And we get that a lot, because we'll show a picture of one of our clients on Instagram where they're wearing like that Kim K look, where it's like the middle part with flat hair on either side. And a lot of it has to do with the styling in terms of whether you want to add some volume to it. For instance, like I don't like a lot of hair on my head only because I'm sensory and I don't like any pressure or any weight on my head, but I can't wear flat like a lot of the girls, some of the girls or some of the women that we have purchasing our wigs want to wear. So what I always do is I tend to just to wave it, because a lot of times when you put the wave and then I'll just shake it out. So it's not like a set wave, but it just like has like a natural S going through it. And a lot of times that gives it volume and texture, which doesn't necessarily mean that you need more hair. So just a lot of times in your styling, like if you would just wave it and then shake it out, so it's not like just a set wave, but more of like a tousled look, it kind of gives you that volume. The other thing is that if you round brush and with the Divine, if you want to add some height to that, I tell people just to spray the top where it's laying flat. And then you just take your blow dryer and from the inside of the cap and just blow it where the hair is going up. You'll see that it creates a lot of volume. A lot of times in the Divine, you can get more volume on the top, even more than the ponytail, because it's just blowing the hair. And because there has returns, it gives it a little more volume. So with both of them, it's in the styling. Like with the ponytail, you want volume, you take your round brush and you can create that volume and lift. And if you want more volume on the sides, I just put some curls in it and then shake it out. And it gives it that texture on the sides, where just these little tricks of styling can give you that volume without having a ton of hair on your head.
That's awesome. So now there's another category of wigs that I feel like it's still a hot seller for you, and that is our more glamorous medium density wigs. So can you kind of tell the audience the main differences of these wigs and who they're good for?
Sure. Another really good question. So the next categories are medium density wigs, which that's where most of our wigs fall into, our medium density. Now, with any wig that you get, I always tell people that it's, you know, you have the base model, but it's the finishing touches and the tweaks that you do that make it really you, that makes it look good. So that's not to say you can't take a medium density once you wear it. And if you feel like there's too much hair, you can thin it out by either cutting it or we can remove some of the hair as well. So you can customize a wig in terms of its density to really match who you are and how you feel. And the medium density is also a really good density, a normal density someone would have on their head. And most of our wigs fall into the medium density category, because in the medium density, it's very easy either to move it up to a full density by adding, you know, rows of hair, or you can move it down to a low density just by removing. So if you see a style that you really like and it's like, wait, but I wanted low, you can actually take a medium density and make it into a low. Now we have the two different types of hair, which is our premium process and our virgin. But in terms of our premium process, there are a lot of styles that are that medium density. And the main difference is they come in all the different colors. The main difference is the length. So for instance, a Victoria is a 14-inch kind of bob style. And then the next one would be the Nicole, which is a lob style, which is a little bit longer. So the color is the same. The color choices are the same. The density is the same. It's just that the length, and we gave it a different name to make it easier. So the Victoria is 14-inch bob, Nicole is 19-inch lob, and then it goes to the Reese, which is a layered style, which is 22-inch layered style with a 14-inch top layer. And then the Giselle, which is 24-inch with a 16-inch top layer. And then we have the Amber, but that's more of a fuller density. So the ponytail is, the ponytail is a low density. So in terms of the medium density and premium process, it's the Victoria, the Nicole, and the Reese, which are three amazing options. Definitely I would say to check those out because you can do so many different things with them in terms of the cutting, the styling, the different colors. And with our Virgin, we have all different types of styles as well. And again, they come in all different colors. It's more the length. So when you're choosing a different style, you're choosing it because it's a different length. You want a longer length or a shorter length. So we have anything from the SL1, which is like a short layered wig, to the LL10, which is a long layered 18-inch wig, to the LL20, which could be a 28-inch actually wig. So we have all different lengths to choose from, depending on what you want. And this different styles determine the different lengths. But most of our wigs fall into the medium category.
I have a question about medium. So yes, they're a little bit denser and they can look just as natural as you pointed out. Is there any tips and tricks in terms of what the audience can request for cuts when they order their wig that makes it look more natural to you?
That's also a really, really good question. So there's a couple things that I recommend with cuts. And again, anyone can, I tell everyone, you know, I can tell you based on, you know, my experience of doing this, but at the end of the day, it has to feel you and it has to feel like you want to wear it and what style you're going for. So there's no right or wrong in terms of the style you're going for, but a lot of times I'll use me as an example just to say what works for me and how I like things. So for me, for instance, I can't wear long layers in the front where it just hangs down and it's just that long layered look. For me, like for my face and for my bone structure, I always feel that face framing just gives that pop of where it just looks like it really frames my face and it actually enhances my features as opposed to weighing it down. And I always feel with most people, face framing definitely adds to a wig. And when we say face framing, I don't mean bangs. I mean, you could do bangs and bangs are great because bangs, I say, if someone wants low maintenance, you don't want to have to worry about the front hairline to make sure it looks good or even to mess around with it every morning. Bangs is the easiest way to go. You could just put a bang on and you can't see anything. After the bangs, there's different types of face framing that you could do that will really enhance your features and bring out your bone structure where it'll really look good. We have different, I guess, lengths, so to speak, that a frame of references that I go by. Right after a bang, you would go like cheekbone level, where it kind of like frames your face around your cheekbone. And it just creates a slight S where it just a slight framing around your face, but it's more higher up, where if you go any higher up than cheekbone, you're already into a bang. After the cheekbone level, I go to below the nose and then I go to the chin level or even below that, even to give it some face framing in the front. It really makes it look like it's polished, so to speak, in terms of how good it can look and natural. So I'm big into framing. That doesn't mean you have to do framing. If you don't like framing and you like it all one length, even someone who likes it all one length, I'll say, even if we frame it a tiny, tiny bit in the front, just to give it a finished look. And a lot of times they'll go for that. So I'm big into the framing. The other thing is the part. Sometimes the parts just look too straight and too perfect. And to me, it's like anything too perfect screams wig. I like the imperfections of hair. You want to bring those out onto a wig because then it just looks like hair. Hair is not perfect. So you don't want your wig to look perfect because then it's going to look like a wig as opposed to your hair. So sometimes with the part, I'll tell people just to mess up the part a little bit. Because if you just look around, you know, when you're on the street, when we're out of this whole quarantine thing, look on the street and look at people's natural parts. And most people don't have a straight, perfect part. So a lot of times I'll tell people, try to kind of mimic what a part looks like on, you know, just a natural part where you can kind of make it where it's a little messy, where that kind of looks more natural. And then the other thing is, again, messy. I like that tousled look because I think it just looks more natural. A lot of times I'll just shake my wig out even after it's curled and styled and I'll put it in my hand. I'm like, no, it's too perfect. I'll take it off. I'll shake it. I'll tousle my hands into it where it kind of just looks like that tousled look where it's styled and it's set, but it's just not perfect where every hair looks like it's perfectly in place. And just these kind of things can really just make a difference in terms of it looking more like hair and not like a wig.
That's awesome. So now let's talk about toppers. Is the same density scale the same for your toppers or is there a little bit different of a scale?
That's also a really good question. Now, in terms of toppers, you would want to have less density on a topper because you're blending your own hair into it. So a wig is a full wig where that's the amount of density that you would naturally see. But if you're wearing a topper and the topper had the same amount of density of the wig, if you're blending your hair into it, then it has even more hair. So a topper, definitely you want a little bit less density than a wig would have, especially also because a topper doesn't have the base as full of a base as a wig. So if you had the same amount of density that you'd have on a topper as a wig in a smaller base, it would look too dense. So with toppers, I do recommend a lesser density in terms of the amount of hair that it would have, but there are all different topper bases and that would be like, I mean, we can go into that, but we should probably reserve like a whole nother discussion on toppers, because there's so many amazing things about toppers. And what's so amazing is that every time we consult with people, we have different clients and we learn the most from our clients, which is incredible because, you know, we come in with one notion thinking that this is the way it is. And then the client comes in, it's like, oh my God, you're right. And it's like, there's no right or wrong in this. And it's really hearing and listening and hearing how everyone is experiencing their wigs, their toppers, where we kind of evolve and try to create all the different amazing products that we have to satisfy the clients. So toppers are like, that's like, there's so many great toppers out there. And even to know, like a lot of people ask me, is a topper good for me? Is a wig good for me? And that's definitely, we should reserve a whole another podcast for that, because
where can the audience go on our website to find more resources on this topic?
So, well, I think our podcasts are in the Wig Wisdom. You can go and you can see all the podcasts and the different topics, as well as Wig Wisdom. We try to update as much as possible. What I would really recommend is the online virtual consultations. I never used to do as many of them. I did them and I love talking to clients. Just a lot of times I got, you know, caught up in the inertia of just day-to-day work. But now that we're doing these online consultations, I'm really learning a tremendous amount from all our clients and just experiencing and seeing their hair journey, because everyone has a different hair journey. And at the end of the day, we're all in the same place. We're all wearing wigs. We all want to look amazing. And it's just hearing everyone and how their journey is to look amazing. And there's always a right solution and a right path for them to go on. But in order to get them onto that right path, that just hearing their journey really helps. So it's amazing, these online consultations. And I always tell people afterwards, I'm like, if you felt that in any way, shape or form, because a lot of times they're like, oh, I just want to come down. I'm going to just, as soon as this is over, I'm going to book a ticket and come down. I'm like, you really, really don't need to. I promise you, you're not going to get any less attention or feel any less, by doing this over the phone, because I can get through so much just showing, and it's not just me, it's anyone of our wig expert team that's doing it, where we can really go deep down and show you the different colors, the different caps and all of that, where it's really customized, one-on-one, personalized for you. So I definitely, definitely urge everyone to do these online consultations, because they're amazing.
That's awesome. And I just wanted to also share with the audience that if you wanted to see the wigs that Judy's talking about in this podcast, you can head over to our YouTube channel. You can just search Milano Wigs on YouTube and you'll be able to find how to find the right density for you video with the actual live demonstration showing each piece side by side. So I want to thank everyone for joining us for episode 3, and stay tuned for the next episode, which will be how to get insurance to pay for your wig. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Take care.